Hey there. I bet you're pretty well aware that our world is just a little bit crazy right now. And I've been praying, trying to figure out what the Lord would have me say. And it was interesting because he brought me back to a scene in a movie that I've talked about not infrequently, from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And if you've known me very long, you know that one of the most gut-wrenching scenes in all of movies of all time for me is when Aslan, the lion who represents Jesus in this movie, is faced with the challenge that somebody he loves, who has sinned, just like all of us, is now in a place where what he deserves is death. And the wicked witch at the time comes in and demands his death, because that would have to fulfill righteousness. And then Aslan steps into the place of this young guy, Edmund, and he actually dies in his place. And it's one of those that just, boy, every time I watch it, it hits me, because it just elicits that strong response of what I know to be true about what really happened to Jesus. It takes us all the way through all the pieces of what occurred when Jesus was betrayed and then he was taken away by guards unjustly. They weren't in a place to do that, even legally at the point. Then they falsely accused him. They illegally tried him or put him through a court case, which they weren't, by their own law, able to do at that time. They beat him. Then they crucified him. But as I go through all that and it kind of hits me and it reminds me of what my salvation cost, of what Jesus did for me, because you and I, we're that sinner. We're Edmund in the story. All of us, every person ever born. And Jesus did go through all that to set us free. Well, when I go through that whole piece, I have to remember that we are the other players in the story. When the Lord came in and he did all this, although Jesus is focal here, we want to remember that he did it for people. He didn't have to do that for anybody, but he did it for people. And then we just heard how people treated him in spite of what God was willing to do for us, a perfect, sinless God. So in light of the events surrounding us today, I just want to make a suggestion to you, and I'll tell you these scripture verses at the end too, in case you don't have something to write them down. But I'd really encourage you just today and maybe through the next couple days to open up to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, starting in verse 17, and read through to the end, which is 16:20. It actually only takes just a few minutes to do it. But every element that we just talked about, all the things that would happen to Jesus during that time, are going to be depicted there. They're going to be told. His betrayal, his illegal trial, the betrayal part really gets me because I see a lot of that going on right now. And then him being falsely arrested and accused and then beaten and killed, all those parts are in there. And I do think that they're important to read again at this time and to meditate on. I would say go through them and don't just read them. Read, and when you hit a part that sticks out to you, stop, read it again, and then pray about it. Ponder it. I've been saying that a lot recently, and I like it because I think a whole bunch more pondering can be done that would really be good for our souls. So I'd suggest that you do that. In that account of Mark, there are a few key elements that I would suggest you focus on, but the reason I'm suggesting you read and meditate on these verses is really threefold. It's to see the condition of the world, because it's a time when Satan really thought that he was the one setting the stage and that he would be victorious. He really believed that the way things were rolling out right before Jesus' crucifixion means that he was going to win. He was finally going to get control. He was finally going to be in charge. He was going to rule people, and it was going to be rough and ugly because he was going to get whatever he wanted for himself. And so we see the stage here. And folks, if you observe the props that were on the stage of life during the time that Jesus was crucified, falsely arrested, all those pieces we talked about, and the props that are on the stage of life now, you're going to realize they're the same props. They have some different dressing, but they're all the same pieces that were in play. And then I want you, secondly, to see what Jesus endured when Satan was pulling the world's strings and how it all played into Jesus' eternal plan. Jesus suffered a lot. I mean, he suffered a lot for all this. And even as you read those verses I told you from Mark 14, 17 through 16, 20, you're going to see that there's some points where Jesus was in agony as he was thinking about what was coming. I mean, that's real. And I like that Jesus lived sinless, but he also lived very real. He went through the range of human emotions that we go through also. But in the midst of going through all that stuff, when Satan was pulling the strings of the world, getting the world to go crazy, getting the world to turn against him, getting the world and even his smaller world of Israel to say, you know, at one point when Jesus is on trial, who do you want released? And they finally said, let the blood of him be on our hands and the hands of our children. And I see that, unfortunately, as it played out and he was pulling the strings, it also played into Jesus' eternal plan. And we're going to see a lot of that's going on right now, too. I think that's ramping up. I remember thinking about how things could turn out in some of the electoral processes we have. And I thought, you know what? Ooh, one path certainly leads us much more rapidly to a one world order. And I want you to pay attention to that, because that is a sooner return of Jesus. And then I also want you to see that although it was very difficult for the disciples, it was also leading to the most amazing transformation or transition in their life. This difficult scene, this changing of scenes, everything being set up that the Lord could have the victory. And it would lead them to letting go of their ties to the old world. Now, they had been with Jesus already for a little over 3 years, and they were working through a lot of stuff, growing in him and receiving him. But we know over and over again, as he prepared them for the fact that he was going to be crucified, they didn't do a real good job of receiving that. That was a little bit more than they could do. And so there's this tie to their old way of thinking, the physical way of thinking, the material world, the corporeal situation of life. And they thought, you know, gosh, we just can't quite let go of that while we're still trying to embrace Jesus at the same time. When Jesus dies, things are going to change really quickly. They're going to be challenged to either hang on to the old stuff and drown or to let go of it and move into the eternal realm with the resurrected king. And they're going to do that. And then they're going to learn to live day by day for the reality that was coming, which is great. I mean, that's really what happens. If you're still tied too heavily to the things of the world, then your mind is not set on those things which are above. Then maybe you're not even really anticipating the return of Jesus. Maybe the idea of it doesn't excite you. I recently went through the book of Revelation, and I talked about a study where a lot of seminaries spend less than 5% of all seminary talking about anything related to heaven. And that's a sad figure. That's a sad statistic. And if you're in one of those churches and you happen to hear this message, I'd tell you, God has a lot to say about heaven, and it's worth looking into. But many places don't even go there, and they therefore assume that heaven isn't a place you want to be. Well, the disciples, man, when all this went down, when everything changed in their life, they became very heavenly minded, focused on wanting to see the return of Jesus, of wanting to be with him again. That's the account that we see when Jesus ascends after the resurrection, after the 40 days. They want to know how to get where he's going and how to be with him and how to be there forever. And you and I hope, have that same desire. That's what he tells us we need to have. So these things changed for him. It moved their focus of reality. So the stage is set. Let me tell you that. If you don't see that, the stage really is set. Hopefully, I know the people that I get to associate with in the church, my family, those who I love, we spend a lot of time talking about Bible prophecy. We talk a lot about the setting of the stage that Jesus told us would take place right before the rapture. And I have to tell you, I'm really ready for it. The stage is set. The world is ready to embrace Antichrist, which is a real problem. And we're moving closer to the judgment of the world. So all that is really in place. So we're ready to completely let go of the ties of this world like the disciples did. We're going to do great. Are we ready to embrace him like the disciples were, to embrace that reality of where he was and the fact that we could be with our resurrected king? And are we in that place where we can daily see the reality that is coming? I see it all the time. I was reading a story in one of the alternative newspapers, I think it was the Epoch Times, or it was Gatestone Institute, that when Boris Johnson was able to take Britain out of the European Union, he was calling for a D10 summit for 10 nations to come together to fight socialism and communism and still stay free in their markets. And he said of that, he said, Europe has to become stronger because we have China and Russia in our neighborhood, and it's not up to America to control them. It's up to us to control them. And if you know anything about Bible prophecy, you know that there has to be a revived Roman Empire. And here the strength of Europe is saying we need to become strong militarily, that we can control or push back socialism and communism from our door. And that is going to happen, folks. I'm telling you, that's the way it's going to be. And not because I say it, but because the Bible says it. There is a revived Roman Empire coming. And the U.S. has to not be that superpower at the time. So are we seeing that daily reality? Are we walking in that daily reality? I think so. And it means to me, with the events that are happening, that it's coming faster. In The Lion and the Witch and the Wardrobe, again, before Aslan is resurrected from the dead to reign forever, while they were still in the world, the people were, while the four kids were and all the characters, one of them, one of the characters says a prophecy, which is obviously a prophecy made up in the film, but it's a shadow of what's really coming. And he says in the movie, wrong will be right when Aslan comes in sight, and the sound of his roar, sorrows will be no more. And folks, yeah, it is a movie, but it is telling a truth, and it's telling a truth that is really coming. But the Bible tells us that Jesus is going to call the church out of the world, that we're going to be out of here. And then he's going to judge the world and Satan and all of his demonic hosts. He's going to do that. That is all coming onto the scene very quickly. And when judgment is done, hear what Revelation 21 verses 3 through 5 say, when all of it's done. I'm fast forwarding quite a bit for those of you who know prophecy. But it says there, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eye. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Folks, that's no movie. That's our reality. These are words that our King has said to us, and he has kept every promise he has ever made and always will. We know this is where we're going. So as you watch crazy things going on around us again, I just want to encourage you, go back to the Word. Go back to the time when Jesus was walking on the earth and the scene looked very similar. The stage was set in a very similar way. And remember, when the enemy thought he was going to win, when it looked from a human perspective like the enemy was going to win, he was going to finally crush everything and everyone, and he thought he would kill Jesus and be done with it, that's when the glorious light really shined, because all of a sudden we had a resurrected King. So I want to remind you, if you could go back to Mark, spend some time. It's more important than the TV show that you could watch or the little project you could do, even vacuuming your house. Yes, I just gave you an excuse not to vacuum. And it would be more important than any of those things. And I would just say, sit down, Mark 14, 17 through 16, 20, and go through it and just pray through it. Take some time, slow down, stop along the way, and think through those pieces with the Lord, and how they even mirror our situation, and how in the end, the victory was more glorious than any trauma or difficulty or trial they could experience. They couldn't believe it at the time, but when it came, I promise you, everything else washed out. It was the only thing they could focus on, a life centered on the King of Glory. Folks, if you and I center our life on that piece, we're gonna do well. And I think it's time to be very bold in evangelism. I just say it like it is, because the clock is ticking and it's running out of time rapidly, which for us is great, but for the world is horrific. And even when Jesus went through the trials in the world and the world persecuted him, I want us to remember now, because of, in light of the events that have shifted, that Jesus didn't hate those who persecuted him. He didn't revile them. He didn't want them to be destroyed. He kept asking the Father to forgive them, for they knew not what they were doing. It's a really good time to be filled with grace while we're in this transition and moving forward. It's a really good time to make a strong stand for Jesus and to set our heart on those things above. Things are transitioning. They're transitioning fast. And I know that you and I will be blessed if we just spend some time comparing the parallels between these two periods of time and the glory that came after. Be blessed. I'm praying for you, praying for our nation, praying for our world. I hope you're doing the same. God bless you.